Good morning. Thank you for having us here. I always get nervous when the senior pastor sits in the front row. And want to just thank you for allowing us to be a part of the service. I'm going to open in a word of prayer. And Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be here, bring a message of hope. Lord, we ask that your voice is louder than ours. That, Lord, they see you, not us. For your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, it's good to be back, and how many people here were here last time Teen Challenge gave a presentation? Awesome. Well, glad to see Pastor Marlo was there. And how many people are not familiar with Teen Challenge? Just a show of hands. Awesome. Pastor Marlo put his hand up again. Well, we're excited to, we believe Teen Challenge is one of Alberta's best-kept secrets. We are a 12-month, faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center serving men and women between the ages of 18 to 65. So if you can get over the teen part, we're halfway there. There's a lot of good treatment programs out there. Most programs have about a 5 to 10% success rate for those that graduate, stay clean. I remember Charlie Sheen, when he was going off the rails on national TV, one of the reporters said to him, why don't you go to a program? And he said, why would I go to a program with only a 5% success rate? He said, I have better odds at home. And this is someone who is making $1 million an episode. Teen Challenge has over a 50% success rate for those who graduate, surveyed 5 years after graduation, are free from drugs and alcohol, positively contributing to society. They actually did some studies to disprove that, and they realized it was closer to 70% and attributed to the Jesus factor. There is no cure for drugs. The pills, the powder, and the needles are so strong, the only way to get off them is to get on something more powerful, and that's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We don't boast about the success rate. The only difference is that because we're not government funded, we have the freedom to base our program on the word, and we believe that is the proven cure for the drug epidemic. As I mentioned, because we are faith-based, we are not government funded. If we were, we would lose the very change agent, Jesus Christ, that gives us the success rate that we do have, and we're not willing to compromise that, are we? Awesome. What I'd like to do is introduce you to our team, play a short video, and then we have a drama called Reality Is. So our most senior student would be Brother Nate. Let's give him a warm welcome. And our next senior student would be Brother Adam. Let's give him a warm welcome. And his parents are here with us as well. Thank you for joining us. Big supporters. Also want to thank Jessica and the family for having the team over and the sound team. And wasn't it good worship this morning? We can clap there. I believe I'm qualified to say that because since graduating the program in 2008, I've done about 350 church outreaches. So I know a good worship team when I see them, so or hear them. So with that, we have this video called A Mouse Tale.
Such feelings coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. I'm on the top of the world. This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my own. Of our elaborate plans, the end.
No mice or students got hurt during the production of that video. You know, even though we fly under the banner of rehabilitation, we're actually a discipleship program. So when you send someone a teen challenge, it's like spending 12 months with someone like your pastoral team and the elders from Eaglemont for 12 months in lockdown. And I always like to ask, if you spent 1 month with your pastor and the elders from your church, would you not have an encounter with the Lord? That must be an elder. That was awkward. Never had that happen before. 350. Is this being recorded? Okay, so this would be a great time to introduce our team as we present Reality Is. Let's give them a warm welcome.
What is reality? Reality is being 16 years old and watching your best friend fall 130 feet to his death right in front of you. What is reality? Reality is being 19 years old and moving 7,000 miles away from your family and finding in your loneliness and despair that the only thing that can cure that is drinking. What is reality? Reality is being too drunk to remember the fight you had with your wife the night before and waking up to find her gone for good. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being sexually abused as a child and not knowing it's wrong because you trusted them. And what is reality? Reality is becoming such a junkie that you choose drugs and alcohol over your own children. And what is reality? Reality is choosing the powder on the table over those who love you the most. And reality? Reality is being at a party, being so high you don't realize your own friend's going to commit suicide hours after leaving the party. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being bullied so bad that at the age of 14 you turn to substance abuse looking for acceptance. What is reality? Reality is carrying your friend's limp body into the hospital, hoping that she's still alive. And what is reality? Reality is selling your friend one more pill, only to return a few hours later to find him dead from taking it. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Although Dave, Adam, and myself have had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The truth is, on February 3rd, 2016, I entered Teen Challenge program. The truth is, I'm now restoring relationships with friends and family that should have never been broken. And the truth is, I now truly believe that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And the truth is, I've now left the broad path of destruction and found the narrow road to salvation through Jesus Christ.
The truth is, in March of 2008, I entered this program called Teen Challenge and rededicated my life to Christ. The truth is, I'm now the father God intended for me to be, and I now have my children in my life. And the truth is, through obedience to him, I'm now the development officer for Teen Challenge Alberta. And the truth is, I wore the shirt because it brings my eyes out.
The truth is that even though I turned my back on God and my friends and my family, they never turned their backs on me. The truth is that the power of Christ is stronger than the power Satan had over me. And the truth is that the only being with enough grace in the world to accept me after knowing everything that I've done is God.
Jesus said that you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. Reality is, the need is great. And the truth is, the Lord is willing that none shall perish. I'm just so thankful for a place like Teen Challenge where you could spend 12 months in a program with the Lord. When a student comes into the program, it's a 45-page rule book. I believe it's 25 now. Smaller print. When I was in the program, it was 45. When I graduated, they brought it down to 25 pages. I don't know what that means, but our prayer is that a student throughout the program, by the time he graduates, is no longer subject to the law, but the Spirit. And what I'd like to do at this time is let you hear from Nate himself as he shares a bit of his story. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Hi, my name is Nate. I'm 29 years old. I was born in Steinbach, Manitoba. I became a Christian at a very young age. I grew up in the church. I remember praying with my mother at the age of five to accept Christ. And growing up, I was always sort of battling between wanting to do my own will and wanting to do God's will. And it was always a battle that I lost. Or one, depending how you look at it, I guess. I got what I wanted, and I didn't do what God wanted most of the time. I tried to look good at church. I was on the worship team and went on missions trips, and I was involved with the kids' ministry. But I never really lived it out in my life. I always had not very many friends growing up, but I usually would have like a really close friend. So what happened throughout my life was that whenever I would lose a close friend, I would sort of go into a depression, and I never really figured out how to deal with it. My best friend was my cousin up until grade 9, and sort of in grade 9, we quit hanging out, and my parents had been talking about moving to Calgary because my mom's family was out here, so I kind of welcomed the change. I was all in for that, so in 2001, we packed everything up, moved to Calgary. So I went to high school in Calgary and had a really tough time with a big city school, making friends and stuff. But I was okay at church. I had friends in the youth group, and I met my best friend Conrad there, who taught me how to play guitar, and we started a band and stuff. And it was great. He was like a brother to me. We did Bible study together, and we jammed all the time after school, and went to the same school, and it was great. But then in August 30th of 2003, we went hiking at Cascade Mountain, just outside of Banff, and he lost his footing and fell 130 feet to his death. And I was me and my older brother were both with him at the time, so I just remember waiting 2 hours for the helicopter to come get him and just hanging on to him so he wouldn't fall, and just praying that God would bring him back, but he didn't. So I was pretty heartbroken after this. I kept going to church, but and I had some good friends at church that kind of helped me, pick me up. But after a while, when I turned 18, these were the same friends that I ended up going for my first drink with on my 18th birthday. So I got drunk, and it started me down a really bad path. Over the next couple years, I went on another missions trip. Thought maybe I was going to overcome my drinking, but then I moved to China and spent 4 months there teaching English, and I was just totally alone when I was there. I didn't know anybody. I didn't speak Mandarin. It was a very tough time, and I ended up just staying at home and drinking a lot, and by the time I came back, I was hooked on alcohol. In 2006, I started working for an airline, and the environment was a really rough kind of environment. I was pretty much fully in the world now, and I didn't have God in my life anymore. I met a Christian girl that I dated for a while, and we were going to get married, and I thought maybe this was going to help me come back to God, but in the end she left me, so it was really hurtful, and at that time I just finally told God, you know, I was done, and I just for the next 7 or 8 years I just traveled the world and drank a lot and did a little bit of drugs and, you know, met some women that were not very good, and I just got into a lot of trouble and got hurt and ended up getting married in 2009 to a woman I barely knew and divorced in 2010. It was pretty tough being married, being an alcoholic. So that really destroyed my relationship. And I really went into the worst part of my life, and leading up until last September, I only was sober for maybe 9 months out of 5 years, and it was starting to affect my health. And my parents had been talking to me about Teen Challenge for about 2 years. They've been involved with sponsoring students, and I think that was something that really helped them deal with my alcoholism, because it was hurting them, and it gave them hope, I think. So they kept mentioning it to me, and the Teen Challenge guys came to my house for dinner and everything, and I just hid in my room, and I didn't want anything to do with it. But in September, I was at the end of my rope. I missed 3 straight weeks of work. I was going to get fired. My lease was up. I was about to be homeless and jobless, essentially. And my parents took me in, and they said, "You need to go to Teen Challenge." And I said, "Yeah, I do." So I went through the application process. It took about 4 months till I got in, but in February 3rd of this year, I entered Teen Challenge, and since then, God has been teaching me a lot about how to deal with pain and with how to interact with people in a good way, and I have sort of got back my faith, and I really believe that God has a purpose for everything that I went through for the past 10 years, and it wasn't what I hoped for. I wanted to be a missionary, but now that I've experienced what I've gone through, I really hope that I can somehow use that to help people who go through similar struggles. And I know that God works for the good of those who love him, and I love God, and that's not something I could say 5 years ago, even 1 year ago. And I really trust in him now that he's carrying me through. And I just wanted to share a verse with you. It's from Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." For a long time I tried to figure out this, to understand God with my mind, but it was a spiritual thing that I couldn't comprehend, because it defies logic that he would choose me to be his child. I just want to thank you all for letting me share your story, for letting me share my story with you. And I want to thank all the people who sponsor Teen Challenge students and support us in prayer and financially, and the volunteers. And it's just, without you guys, there would be no Teen Challenge to help people like me get through these struggles. And we'll be at the back after the service. And if you need prayer or anything, just come and talk to us. That's what we're here for. Thank you.
Thanks, Brother Nate, for the courage to share your story. He's a leader in the program. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And as, you know, him sharing his story, you could see how the enemy gets you into a corner, and you think there's no hope. But comes in the program, God gets a hold of his life. He said yes, and, you know, our prayers, the students can see themselves not through their past, through their addiction, through all the things the world puts on them, but the way you've seen him this morning through God's lens. And, you know, we talk about the sponsorship program. Because we're not government funded, we raise our own funds. Most people aren't aware, but when a student comes to Teen Challenge, it's $1,000 tuition for the full year. And when I called up Teen Challenge in 2008 and said I needed help, I didn't have the tuition. And I remember talking to the intake coordinator and him saying, "Do you have the $100 application fee?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Let's apply. If you get accepted, then we'll worry about the tuition." And before he hung up, he said to me, "Do you have faith?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "We'll see you Monday." And it could have been someone here that said, if someone shows up to your door and they mean it, don't let that $1,000 tuition stop them from a new life. And because of that, my children have their father. I've gone on to do 350-plus outreaches, and now the development officer for Teen Challenge Alberta. So if you take our 12 beds divided by our operating costs, it's about $50,000 a student to put them through for the year. And that does sound like a lot of money, but when someone goes to jail, it's about $150,000 for the 12 months. So with a 5% success rate. So thankful for a ministry like Teen Challenge, for the pastor to allow us to come and share. This is Nate's sponsor card. our prayer is that we're able to get Nate sponsored today. It's $40 a month to sponsor a student. You get quarterly updates, you get invited to their graduation, and we figure out how many outreaches we do a year. The national average is 1.5 students get sponsored at each outreach. In Alberta, don't ask me how half a student gets sponsored, but in Alberta we used to be 0.25, and so we'd have to do 4 outreaches to get one guy sponsored, and by God's grace, Alberta is now at 3.0, so our prayer is that we're able to get each one of the guys sponsored today. With that, let's give a warm welcome to Brother Adam as he shares a bit of his story.
Good morning, church. Anyway, like Dave said, my name's Adam. I'm 32 years old. I was born and raised in a Christian home in Fort McMurray, Alberta, with 2 loving parents, which are here today visiting, and my younger sister. At a very young age, I professed Christ to be my Savior. I was baptized, and when I became a teenager, things started to drastically change for me. I started working small jobs, became an introvert, and spent a lot of my time alone reading books. I was considered a geek in school and didn't really have a lot of friends. When I turned 14, I quit school, moved out of home, thought I had found love. My lack of acceptance caused me to fall head over heels for a girl that did not feel the same way about me. And it wasn't very long until that relationship ended abruptly. I moved out of her house and into a coworker's, and reaching for acceptance, I started doing whatever it took to get it. I smoked cigarettes and used pot regularly. I was also willing to try whatever was put in front of me. Things like cocaine, speed, ecstasy, and prescription pills became part of my regular diet. This started me down a long road of drugs, alcohol, and partying. The need for acceptance fueled my desire to be high. I hated the way I felt inside. I felt like I would never be loved or accepted unless I did the things that people were doing. So I continued on my path of self-destructiveness and tried to escape the feelings that were brewing inside me. I felt like I had enough Fort McMurray, so I moved to the big city of Edmonton. Hopped on a bus, and shortly after arriving here, I was invited to a club called Therapy. This was an after-hours club, open from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m., where people could go, get high, smoke cigarettes, and do drugs all night without nobody judging them. I thought that I had arrived. This was my place. I felt accepted. I felt the people there loved me, but I was under the wrong impression. I partied as hard as I could. I loved the music, the parties, the drugs, and just not caring about my problems. Then I was introduced to crystal meth. I thought it couldn't get any better. Here was a drug I could do all night and day, never worry about my problems, just wander town freely, not caring about anything. Then I ran out of money. I started stealing anything I could get my hands on. And as time went on, that empty feeling that I had had before, along with several other emotions, started filling my head. I knew that I wasn't raised this way, and I knew that what I was doing was wrong. One day, I decided to call my parents for help, and at 18 years old, broken, poor, and almost dead, I went home. I was hurting badly on the inside, and my body was really sick, and it took some time, but I got healthy. I was going back to church. Feeling loved and accepted by my family seemed to be good enough for me. I had wished inside that feeling would last forever, but sadly, it didn't. Other people that I had met throughout this time seemed to feel the same way I did. Everybody was seeking acceptance. So once again, I started using drugs to fit in. But this time I had connections in the city, and it was very easy for me to start selling drugs. Now I had money and drugs and what I thought were the best friends in the world. Boy, was I ever wrong. The lifestyle that I chose was definitely a path of destruction, and over the next few years, I found myself in and around places I probably should have never been and things that I should have never seen. I saw people who I thought were really close to me turn their backs on me. Friends that were doing the same drugs I were doing were overdosing and dying. Did this stop me? No. I continued. I didn't have a care for my life, and I didn't care about anything else around me. Finally, after one too many close calls with death, that same feeling I was drowning out before came back to haunt me, along with all the new problems I'd created for myself. It was too much for me to handle alone, and I didn't think that I could trust God. So once again, I cried out for help. My parents were very gracious. They accepted me back home and wanted to help me. I went to detox for 10 days and then to my first rehabilitation clinic. I spent 28 days in the Grand Prairie Northern Addiction Center, but after that program, instantly I started hanging out with my old friends again. I thought because I had changed, they would change too. But of course, it didn't last long, and once again, I was using drugs. Then I met another girl. We started dating, and just over a year later, I had my first child. We stayed together for another 3 years, but then the shocking news came that she was cheating on me. This sent me into a wild spiral of emotions, and not knowing what to do, I abruptly ended that relationship. Her and my daughter moved to Newfoundland, but I wanted nothing more than to be the best dad that I could be for my daughter. So I moved out to Newfoundland as well. I started working. I'd spent some time with my daughter. I partied the odd time, but I thought that I had found a balance in my life. After a little while, there came another change, and I found myself back in Alberta. Hurt by the experiences I had encountered, I tried to drown out my emotions with drugs and partying again. I hitchhiked all around the country, working, partying, but always with that empty feeling inside me lingering. Then on October of 2009, I decided to enter my second rehabilitation clinic. This time, a year-long, Christian-based intensive program called Teen Challenge. Shortly after I entered the program, my heart was changed, and in November of 2009, I rededicated my life to Christ and was rebaptized. After a little while, I stayed there 10 months. I thought that I was ready to go. I thought that I had my addiction beat, so I left Teen Challenge, but I was angry. I went back to Fort Mac, got a job, and I was doing well for a little while, but I didn't take time to create a good support base, and I believe that was my first mistake that set me up for failure. Once again, seeking acceptance, I met another girl. We had our first child in 2010 and then another in 2014. And after we had our second child, she ended up with postpartum depression. This put a lot of strain on our relationship, caused us to fight a lot, and caused us to just not get along. Everything that I tried to do seemed never to be good enough. I didn't know what to do. So then came my second mistake. I started blaming God for my problems. And when I started blaming him, I couldn't lean on him anymore. I got a medical marijuana card, started using heavily. It seemed like the right thing to do. We decided that maybe me going away for a while to work with my dad was the right thing to do. I figured that maybe some time apart would give us time to grow closer together, but sadly it didn't. It drove us even farther apart. This raised a lot of previous emotions I had encountered in my past, and I allowed it to bother me very much. And eventually my kids, I wasn't able to see them anymore. So in October of last year, I went back to the rave scene. It was a familiar place where I knew that I could just get numb, and I wanted nothing more in my life to be numb. And then again in December, on Christmas Day, I started using meth again. I thought, you know, why not if I wanted to be numb? But it was a bad choice, and this path that I chose to take was 3 months of really slippery crap, I guess. So in just 3 months, I encountered another ultimate low in my life, and this made rock bottom seem like a step up. And in March of 2016, I chose to enter Teen Challenge again. It was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make, but one that I know I'll never regret. Now I'm finishing off my fifth month in Teen Challenge. I'm almost halfway done, and I've encountered God again. He has become a very strong staple in my life. He's taught me that I can't deal with just God on an intellectual level, but that I need to deal with him on an emotional and relational level as well. Nothing but a relationship with God could change the way that I was before. I thank you guys very much for giving me the chance to speak here. And I'd just like to leave you with a verse. Galatians 5:16 says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Brother Adam, for the courage to come and share your story. You know, Adam's a leader as well. He was the chef in the kitchen. He just finished a few months there, and they're really wanting him back in there because a lot of times you get guys in the kitchen that don't know how to cook, so it just really extends the program, if you know what I mean. And so just great to have these guys. I love taking them on outreaches, like I said, leaders. And I know them now and see growth almost daily, weekly, and to imagine where they were. You know, I'm from Edmonton. I know one of the clubs he was talking about, therapy. It would break your heart if you walked in there and see what was going on there. You're talking 16 years of age and up, opens at 11 o'clock at night, and it's an all-night deal. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is greater than that, and that's what we're here to talk about. Our mission is to help people overcome drug and alcohol addiction empowering them to reach their full potential as society. If you or anyone you know is dealing with addiction, please come and see us at the table in the back, not for a handout, but a hand up in the fight against addiction. Don't want to take up a lot of your time. You know, I don't normally share this, but Lord's put it on my heart lately. You know, it's very common when you see someone under the influence. They're not just using one substance. They'll take this drug to bring them up, and then they will take another drug to bring them down, and then another drug to level them out. And that's very common in all our stories to be on multiple things, such as horse tranquilizer. You know, heroin used to be the drug no one talked about, and very powerful. A new drug came out, fentanyl, which is 100 times more potent than heroin. And if that's not bad enough, there's a new drug, carfentanil, which is 100 times more potent than fentanyl. And just in some research, this is stuff they use to tranquilize elephants and hippos. That's how powerful it is. And they did a 1 kilo bust on the border. It was going to a 24-year-old in Calgary, allegedly. And that 1 kilo had as many as 1 million doses. So 2 grains of salt would be enough to take you out. You know, we, again, are here to talk about what God is doing. We are looking at getting Adam sponsored. It's $40 a month to get him sponsored, $480 for the year. These are our sponsor cards. We didn't hand them out. We know you guys are very mission-orientated. We do have them at the back. If you are looking at sponsoring, all you do is just come and fill it out. If you fill it out today, we'll actually give you who you're going to sponsor and write on there who you're going to sponsor. You know, talking about what God's doing, we've been in Alberta for 25 years, located just outside of Prittis. It's a 12-bed facility. It's an old retirement home or nursing home. Many times we inherit a building and then we have to kind of adapt our program to that. So there's a lot of hiding spaces or it's not really efficient. I think right now our chapel and we're in an ATCO trailer. We have 3 ATCO trailers on our property, but we've been approved to zone from 12 beds to 32. So we're going to build a new facility. So we do appreciate your prayers for that. And God's opening some doors for us. If you're interested in knowing more about that, I believe you guys are doing an expansion as well. We really appreciate that you guys allow us to come and share. If we have that video called Tarrant Video, thanks.
I'd go home after a night of drinking. I'd wake up the next morning wanting more. I craved more. And I realized this is not good because I needed the alcohol, the beer, to wake me up, to be able to get up. That's what I was getting up for. It wasn't good enough just getting up to go to work or be a husband or a father. I was getting up for that next drink. I can remember that first drink of beer. Just a few days before that first drink, my nephew Cameron had passed away while he was undergoing heart surgery. And Cameron was only 12 years old during his surgery. So that's when I started to drink, was after Cameron's death. And after that, it just escalated to more and more. The lowest point in my life was when my mom called me She'd called me lots, but this night was different. We had an argument, and little did I know that that night she would pass away, and that would be the last thing I would remember was talking to my mom as hanging up on her. Remembering the last conversation I had with her was an argument about money. So when I'd go out drinking, I started gambling. I'd put money in, and when I lost, I was happy because that was the argument I was with my mom. It was about money. I gambled to lose. The more I lost, the better I felt. Just like the more I drank, the better I felt. My addiction really got the best of me when I decided to try and end my life. I was at home alone. My wife and kids were gone. I went out into the garage and found a rope. I even Googled how to make a noose. And tried to hang myself. After my suicide attempt, I woke up in the hospital and I was angry that it didn't work, that I was alive. And it was at this time I finally, for the first time, cried out to God. I said, God, if you still have a plan for me, there's still purpose, I need you to show me a sign. Not tomorrow, not next week. I need a sign right now. And I'm angry at God. I'm angry at everything. Within minutes, the nurse comes down, sits at my side and says, Tarrant, I see you're interested in the Teen Challenge program. Tarrant, I want you to know that's a good place. I've heard good things about them. They can help you. And as she's talking to me, a peace came over me. And I felt okay. I felt something. It was very tangible, and I felt like I had hope again. And as she walked away, I knew this was the sign that I sought after. The moment I walked into Teen Challenge, I knew that that's where God wanted me to be. I knew that was the place that would rehabilitate me. I knew that was the place where I can put the old things behind. And I knew that was a place where I had new freedom and new life was at Teen Challenge. During my year-long rehab at Teen Challenge, there were definitely defining moments. One was on the second day during chapel worship service, I rededicated my life back to Jesus Christ. Not only was I affected through my year-long process at Teen Challenge, but also the lives of my wife and my children, how God had restored my marriage, and I was now being able to be the father that I was called to be and the husband that I was meant to be.
Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be here together as a family.
Even when I didn't think I'd receive grace from God, all the things I have done to my wife and to my kids and to myself, my own body, and knowing that Jesus gave me grace so that I can put all that away, leave that all behind me, to feel that grace, to start fresh, to start new, really a new life, a new creation. Because if it wasn't for grace, I'd still be hanging on to all that garbage that I hung on to in the past. But because of grace, I have been set free.
It's always tough to see what someone goes through to have to come to a place of brokenness. You know, Tarrant, such an amazing guy. He used to have his own flooring company, did very well. He's from the Blood Tribe in Lethbridge, and a lot of brokenness there. Anyway, God's restored all that. He's actually now leaving the flooring business to work with youth. And the Potash Corp is sponsoring him to speak, to work with youth. Scott's Parable is sponsoring him to go to reserves to bring a message of hope. And got to meet him and his wife, amazing family. We're actually going to be going to the Blood Tribe where we got the local pastor, we got a venue. We're all going to go in and just bring light to the Blood Tribe just by Lethbridge. Some know it as Meth Tribe. We have another graduate who came through Teen Challenge years ago who's actually from Hobima. He actually almost made chief last election and is now on city council. And it's amazing in closing how God works, because Tarrant talked about that nurse that came in the room. And after getting to know Tarrant, I found out that the nurse had, her faith was really floundering. And she'd said, God, I need you to show me a sign. And she walks in the room, runs into Tarrant, and she tells him about this place called Teen Challenge. And as a matter of fact, her mom cuts the hair for the guys at Teen Challenge. So anyway, that in closing, I did talk to you about get our prayers to get three guys sponsored. You can't sponsor Tarrant, but we do have a new guy in our sponsorship program. I just got his sponsor cards yesterday. And we are looking to get Kyle sponsored. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here and standing in the gap for guys like Adam, Nate, and myself. Thank you, Pastor Marlo, and God bless.
Thank you, Nate and Adam, for sharing so openly and transparently. Courageous of you to share your story, and it's a privilege to have all of you here representing this excellent ministry this morning. And as we indicated previously, as a congregation, we would take a love offering over and above your regular giving, and we're going to do that right now. And thank you, ushers, for serving us. We're going to give you a moment to just prepare that offering, and you can come and just wait at the front for just a moment. Ushers, thank you so much as people prepare. And you can just write, if you're filling out a check, still to Eaglemont Church, 100% of this offering will be put through directly to Teen Challenge. And on your envelope, your giving envelope, you can just write love, okay, simply on the blank line there. A worthy ministry that's doing a great work. Some of you know the history of it back in the late 60s, I guess, of David Wilkerson feeling called. To broken people. There's broken people all around. We're all broken in some way. We need God's grace. There is that young preacher called to the inner city of New York City. And the impact around the globe of this ministry is significant. So ushers, you can begin to serve. Thank you so much for doing that. And I believe that there'd be opportunity, if you're not prepared, if you just have a debit card or something, a debit card at the back after as well, to direct funds to in the love offering to Teen Challenge. Maybe you know somebody who really needs to hear about this program. You can stop by the table, go online, encourage you. I encourage you to share this information with people in your network who you know are struggling in this area. Just take advantage, being a help to them in Jesus' name by recommending this good ministry, okay? Romans 15:13. What a great verses you guys left, and I hope you'll take these verses away this week and in your own, you've got your own connection with God's word and where you're at, but take time to prayerfully ponder Proverbs 3:5-6 and Galatians 5:16. And I leave you with Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a word to every one of us this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your transforming power. Thank you that anything is possible to overcome if there's full surrender to you, Jesus. Help each one of us to respond to that message of grace and hope in the way that you know we need to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you leave, again, there's information. You've heard about it already at the back table. Meet these fine gentlemen, and if God leads you to support in some practical, tangible way, you obey that prompting of the Spirit. And as well, as you go, if you didn't get a chance at coffee time to be a part, sign up to be a part of Mission Day on September the 10th, please do that. Great to be together. I pray you sense God's peace today. Amen.